to have your ballot in the mail by Friday at the latest and still have it arrive in New York. Consider using Priority First Class Mail if you're waiting that long, but do get it in the mail. As of Monday, December 3rd, KPFT received almost 60% of the ballots required to meet quorum, so every single vote means a lot. Please do your part. This is KPFT Houston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to this slipshod edition of Technology Bites. Somebody else talk for just a little bit.
Broadcasting in missing geek formation as Jay Lee is out of the country in Austria.
There
we are.
Yay.
We're on air.
Now we have our mics.
We said such cool stuff before the next one.
What is this slipshod?
Dwight's here to make this legitimate.
Oh, I can't make it legitimate. It just has to be legitimate.
Too legit. Too legit. To
so do we broadcast. Have Peter?
I think we're working on it.
That's why I said slipshod.
Speaking for thine own self.
And why I told somebody else to talk for a little bit.
All right, we're working on it. We're talking.
But this is Technology Bites. That's right. You are listening to Technology Bites.
90.1 FM, Houston, Texas, KPFT.
We have a website.
We do?
It's geekradio.com.
And we got Peter.
And we have Peter.
We've got an IRC channel on irc.cuckoo.com/techbite, so you can join via the IRC client on said webpage.
Said webpage being geekradio.com.
Geekradio.com.
We have a Facebook page.
Yeah, but there's not much going on there right now.
We have a Flickr account.
Yeah.
Do we have an Instagram? No.
No.
No, we don't have an Instagram.
No, we're missing a Jay Lee, too.
We're missing it. That's right.
We have a Twitter.
We have a Twitter.
We've got a Twitter.
That's right.
We've got Dwight. We don't need a Twitter account. We just need to be next to Dwight.
Do we have a MySpace?
Wow.
Probably, but
I bet
cares.
There is an old. I bet somewhere out there floating around is an old Geek Radio.
Do
we
have
MySpace.
An Orkut?
We should. I've got an Orkut account.
We know we have a Ketchup.
We know so. Jay's got a Ketchup.
All right, so let's do the IDs.
The who?
The IDs, not the who. The who, oh, there's only two of them
I'm
left.
I'm Pete Townsend.
Barely a who. I'm Roger Daltrey.
Everyone else is out of luck.
Claim the living ones.
Everyone else is dead.
I don't even know who is.
I'm the corpse of other member that I don't know his name.
That's right. I think Peter tried to do the I'm Peter Hughes and broke up.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, I decided, you know, we would do a test and I would actually hardwire in. So I'm actually not using wireless. I am hardwired in
into the matrix.
On the network directly.
Into the
Can't blame the network. Can't blame my computer.
It's Peter.
Peter's fault.
It's Peter's fault. Peter, give us a count.
It's worse. There's too much lard on your connection.
I've got some 4G in here if you want to connect to me.
Just don't turn it off before the end of the show.
I'm not like White. I'm not going to do you that way.
What is yours?
You want to pass that in there?
Yeah, let me.
Because the password's on the back. It's right. Sun Yeon, which is an Asian triad gang.
That's the password?
No. That's the access point name. The password you're going to have to get from the back of the device.
Right.
It's I always make my access point names look dangerous. That way people might be afraid
Stay
to connect.
Away.
So why unmarked. Do you have no Jay? We need to explain the lack of Jay.
He's out hunting Krumpuses.
Krumpus.
And successfully shooting them from the look of Flickr.
Yeah, he's shot a lot of Krumpi. I don't know what the limit is with the... I guess
as long as you tag him, you got to get your license and then tag him and then you're good.
He hasn't brought any under the limit, right? You've got to be like 4 feet tall, between 4 and 8 feet tall in the slot.
So where can you like get a Krumpus like skinned and stuff?
Austria.
Austria.
You can get everything in Austria, yeah?
Right. Yeah. He is the king of Salzburg right now. He's got these awesome photos of like overlooking old Austria, old Salzburg, and I commented on one of his photos that he was the king of Salzburg,
king of the world.
But yeah, he's overseas.
Who are we? Do we have Peter yet?
I think Flicted is hacking it, trying to get it to work.
So, well, he's Peter Hughes.
I'm Barrett. Oops, out of order.
Inflicted.
I'm Dwight.
And he's Groovehouse.
Groovehouse apparently is the only guy that the station manager knows, is what Dwight was saying earlier.
Yes,
we got some mentions on the radio.
I was told when I came in here by one of the people who are in the meeting here that Dwayne apparently was talking about us during some show, and the only person he could remember whose name he could remember was Groovehouse.
Awesome. That's excellent.
Good thing Jay Lee's out of the country.
Yeah.
This is not good for Dwayne.
No,
for sure.
Although he's got a weak head start on Jay.
Usually people can't spell my name on air name, but...
They at least know it.
I always get the capitalization wrong.
No, I was in a cab about a week and a half ago, and they were asking about you post motorcycle incidents and stuff like that. Apparently, this guy used to ride motorcycles and was like, "How's Flicted doing?" I was like, "Whoa!" And that just kind of came up out of the blue. He didn't necessarily, you know, we weren't talking about that. You just boom, you know. So,
wow,
you got a following at least in the cab realm.
Excellent.
Okay, I'm doing all right. I don't have any feeling in the front of my leg from my knee on my shin.
Still? It's done?
Feels like it's asleep. Yeah, the nerves probably clipped forever.
Wow.
But I, you know, other than that, I can't really tell much damage except if I stand for a really long time, that leg will start to hurt more. You know, sometimes it will like retain fluid some, a little bit, but not real bad. So there's definitely still like some effect, but it's not... For the most part, it's not anything I notice.
Well, hopefully the friend of the show out there is listening. Yeah, he had been hit several times, and I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't ride motorcycles. But then he had also been hit as a pedestrian several times, so I think he's just got some bad karma.
In the same way that you lose keys off your computer keyboard,
Flicka gets
hit and clipped by automobiles.
Oh.
So do we have Peter working yet?
I can chat with him, like typing.
But even on the 4G?
Oh, it's really broken up.
It's really broken up.
He said he could hear us, but yeah, he's just horrible on this.
Maybe
side.
He should call in on the
Yeah, we can patch him in if he wants to call the number
on the phone.
Yeah. Call from his cell because that's just minutes, maybe.
And it's night,
so they're
probably
it's night.
We should be a friends and family. Peter.
Unless it starts at 9, then he's gonna burn like.
Well,
60 minutes.
At least a few minutes for the...
We should get him just a burner phone and just mail it to San Antonio. Just like Neo, like little right. FedEx package, open this.
Yeah.
Well, agents are coming for you.
One of the other things we do is we take your phone calls. We answer your technology questions. 713-526-5738, or if you prefer the alphabetical version, 713-526-KPFT. Give us a call. We'll take your question. Hey, we need to get some news, though.
Do we have an app.net account?
I have an app.net account.
That's Katie Five asked on IRC. when we were listing all the things, you know, right. all the types of accounts we have.
That's pretty
obscure. I don't think we have that because we'd have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm paying the $5 a month thing for app just to try it.
Did he disconnect?
He disconnected, yes. He's probably going to call in. So I'm paying app.net, for those who don't know, is a social network that was created as an alternative to Twitter, as Twitter has increasingly become unfriendly to developers. Someone created something called app.net that is designed to be extremely friendly to developers. In fact, all it really is a set of APIs, and other people are expected to develop apps that run on top of it.
So is that kind of like a Diaspora kind of approach, or
yeah,
Dabber
but even
kind of
simpler,
approach?
Yeah, but even simpler. And we there is a web page. If you sign up for it and get on it, it looks a lot like very prototypical Twitter. But the feature set is extremely limited. But there are some interesting apps.
Although
they
want people to pay for it to try to keep like tons of free accounts that are, you know, slimy out.
Yeah.
So only slimy people with money can. Beyond.
But not you don't need much money.
First, it's just the slimy, impoverished people that are on all the other social media things. Hey, do we have Peter?
Yes, on the regular line. We'll see what see what's up with that. I think. Well, I don't know if the 4G did it really switch over or.
Yeah.
Were you able to get on?
Yeah, he had switched over and it still sounded, you know, we just.
Less than
occasional,
usual.
Occasional.
So it was weird.
Blips
the call me. Continued with switching networks. I would have thought it would have dropped the.
Wow.
Dropped the call and started over. So yeah. That's why I was wondering. So did you unhook the?
Unless I'm on both.
The network cable.
No, he didn't unhook the cable, so he's probably on both.
That was it. Yeah, so he might have been able to try it on the 4G.
But this is pretty good. We've got you loud and clear.
That's
and
right. This sounds great, and there's no question.
If at least you want to do the news, that'd be fine.
Yeah, well, I believe that the issue, since it is technology oriented, I think the issue is the internet connection from the station to the internet. I think that what they're doing is that the same T1 that does all the phone lines is where the data is where the network is hooked up to go out to the internet.
You're probably right.
And you kind of go, you know, T1, oh, what, T1 line, that should do fine, and nobody's using the phones. Yeah, a T1 line ain't nothing anymore. You know, that's 1.5 megabits per second.
It's less than the slowest DSL. Well, I mean, I guess if you're long-range DSL, but it sounds impressive, but it's not much data. It's 1.5 megs up and down, which is pretty pitiful these days.
Yes.
And if anybody's doing anything on the network, then that pretty much takes away any bandwidth for... I guess we need to figure out the best solution. Either look at seeing if what there needs to happen at the station to, like, I don't know, get another DSL line that's dedicated for data, so at least it would be.
But I'm pretty sure
sharing with the phones, or else look at a 4G solution. You know, the thing is, I just don't know, is that going to introduce latency that would be problematic. We need a pretty good connection.
I'm pretty sure that I probably was not on Ethernet because I'm showing as not being Ethernet connected.
I mean, for what it's worth, the 4G connections, even on our phones, I mean, where the station's located that we're broadcasting from, it's notoriously bad on reception, at least from everything I've ever covered. So.
Right. So we may need to just, I guess we'll investigate further, but it kind of sucks because Skype worked for a while.
We had two glorious shows.
And we got, well, no, I mean, for years. There was a good period of time where it was pretty much fine, but
I wonder if it's possible to like drop the bandwidth or something. We could also try doing I think we did this before, but we could try it again, doing a Google chat and see if it voice and see if it behaves any differently.
I wonder if there's a way for you to set the quality of service settings too, so it.
We would have to have access to the network here to be able to
do anything. Right, on their router.
Oh yeah, well if they'll give us access to it, we could. We should just show up one night.
Depends on the router, right? I mean, it may be a simplistic one that doesn't allow.
I think it's a Linksys.
There was a time we donated gear at one point. They had some of my gear up here. We actually had Captive Portal and we had QoS. We had like a full on Socris Linux box.
At one point,
running.
I remember a few years ago, something had gone out, and I actually went to Radio Shack and bought a D-Link wireless access point and brought it up here and just gave it to the station. And I know that had been around for, I don't know if it's still around, but it was around for several years.
It isn't showing up on the list. It may be sitting back there.
If they're on Linksys, I will say, you know, my personal experience, when you do voice over IP with the Linksys, it doesn't, that over time, it does not do well with that. For some reason, it keeps the routes and it doesn't have a very big buffer. And so over time, it gets to a certain point where it's just overwhelmed. That's why I use D-Links basically now, because the Linksys I had, that was a rack mounted Linksys, and it turns out the problem goes from their like best to their worst. All of them had it. They may have changed it now, but anyway.
Yeah, they've overhauled all their equipment since they were bought by Cisco. So
they needed to.
There was some kind of fancy meeting going on here at the station we came in, so if any station management people are listening on the way home, just say the word and we'll install the gear. We could put up a mono wall or a zero shell solution or something nice and beefy.
We'll fix you up.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, I think that's the future. A satellite is expensive. The normal ways to communicate from radio station to station is, with quality, is steep. It takes ISDN lines and multi-thousand dollar encoding and decoding boxes, where Skype really does do well enough if you have a decent network connection. It doesn't have to be spectacular, just has to be decent. So we're not even getting that anymore, but I guess if Flicted wants to hit the button, we can keep moving the show forward.
All right. Flicted? News.
It's the Technology Bytes Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
All right. Well, there's an insurance company that their thing is about they're on your side. Well, apparently somebody's on the inside of their network, like hackers, broke into Nationwide Insurance's network in October, stealing the personal information of more than a million customers across the country, the insurance company recently revealed. Oops. The company said the compromised information included people's names and a combination of Social Security numbers, driver's license numbers, their date of birth, and possibly marital status, gender, and occupation, as well as the names and addresses of employers. Nationwide said it has no evidence that any medical information or credit card account data was stolen. Of course, just to step back a second, if you have that kind of information on a person, that combination of information, Social Security number, driver's license, date of birth, those kinds of things, taking the next step and getting into other of their accounts, that's a lot easier when you've got that much information. Supposedly, Nationwide, they posted a note and an FAQ saying that they discovered the attack the day it happened and took immediate steps to contain the intrusion. They believe they successfully contained the attack through their response. It occurred on October the 3rd, but the company didn't launch an investigation until the 16th. They learned from the investigation that information had indeed been compromised and confirmed the identities of affected customers on November the 2nd. It's now in the hands of law enforcement. Company spokesperson said 1.1 million people were affected by this hack, and Nationwide began sending letters to these customers in the middle of November. Although the company posted its online notice on the same day, news of the hack has only recently been circulated by news outlets. So far, the information has not been used for evil yet. And Nationwide, if you happen to be one of those people affected, is offering free credit monitoring and identity theft protection for 1 year as a precaution for those customers. I would say if you got one of those letters, I think you probably should take it. That would be a wise move to take it and get what you can if any of them happen to be amongst our listening audience. Because you can't protect you. When the other company has your information because you have a relationship with them, then there's nothing you can do to protect it. So they should. And here's an interesting one. The White House, this is sort of social media-y, but then it gets cooler. And maybe this is more of a Barrett time kind of, it almost sounds like a Barrett time kind of thing. No, the White House has a place where people can make suggestions, you know, about things that they would like the White House to address, that they think the country should focus on, things like that. And if it gets enough people who sign the petition or support it, then there will be an answer from the White House. And so you take social media and you put it together with, governance. There's a new petition up at the up on this site, and you'll have to find it, that suggests a massive space-based technology project. Quote, by focusing our defense resources into a space superiority platform and weapon system such as a Death Star, the government can spur job creation in the fields of construction, engineering, space exploration, and more, and strengthen our national defense. At the time of this writing, the petition needed about 20,600 more signatures before it would get an answer. And here's the Barrett timey part. Building an actual Death Star, they actually have numbers. This article is from Tom's Hardware, so that's, of course, why they would have the numbers. Building an actual Death Star would be a massive project that would cost roughly $852 quadrillion to construct a spaceship that's about 90 miles in diameter and would need 1 quadrillion tons of steel to be completed. Basically, they found a way that you could afford this because it would take, Earth does have enough iron to supply the material for the Death Star, but it would take 833,000 years to produce enough steel to start work on the Death Star. So you can spread the cost out over 833,000 years. So it only cost $1 trillion per year, to just give you an idea of the scale of the cost. That actually would fit under kind of our current debt. National debt is $16 trillion, so another trillion here or there wouldn't be noticed. So if you're interested and you're a smart aleck, then maybe you want to sign that petition. Or there's also, I'm sure there's the ones about Texas seceding and all that. And I'm sure that the White House doesn't regret at all opening this up where people can make their own suggestions to the White House about serious matters like Death Stars. And we were talking a few minutes ago about 4G internet, basically 4G wireless. AT&T may start rolling out its LTE advanced network in the second half of next year, if the current rumor is to be believed. If it's true, AT&T would be effectively catching up to Verizon's LTE lead with the next generation of 4G access, with potential average download speeds of 100 megabits per second being quoted for the technology. Analysts from TBR made the claim in a report written based on, quote, comments AT&T executives made at the company's consumer analyst conference in Atlanta. Although AT&T has confirmed it wishes to enable LTE advanced technology on its cell towers in 2013, it has not issued a date when it's going to do so. It has pledged to spend $8 billion on wireless expansion plans, with the ultimate aim of covering 250 million U.S. residents with LTE-based mobile broadband by the end of the year, but they apparently have drawn a big black hole around the radio station. LTE Advanced has the capability to offer a significant jump in connection speeds through carrier aggregation, namely combining multiple spectrum channels into one. There was a test in South Korea in January of last year that showed the technology peaking at 600 megabits per second, with the demonstration showing a CD-sized 700 megabyte movie being transferred in 9.3 seconds, as well as streaming footage to a 3D television while traveling in a test vehicle. That's what we need. We need that network for our own exclusive use on the show, so that we can do Skype. And here's a story about Skype. Apparently, they're going to add video messaging to the Skype, to the paid-for version of the Skype service. A change to the terms of service confirmed rumors that the Microsoft-owned messaging network would allow its users to send a pre-recorded video clip to other Skype users with limitations placed on how many can be sent on non-premium accounts. So when you don't get hooked up. Wow. You know, have you ever left a voicemail message that you regret? Just imagine the kind of regretful Skype video messages someone might leave if they called someone on Skype and expected to get them and didn't connect. Anyways, the updated terms of use mentions the changes in a section towards the end, according to IT World. Quote, if you're a Skype premium subscriber, you can, subject to the video messaging fair use policy below, send and receive an unlimited number of video messages. It also reveals that non-subscribers can also send messages, though that number may be limited. All users will be able to receive video messages from other users, though messages sent or received will expire within 90 days unless they come from a premium account or the recipient upgrades theirs. Right now, Skype Premium costs $9 per month, with the amount lowered when paid in advance. I don't know, maybe, I wonder with that, I don't know if that would improve our connection. Maybe that's part of the problem. Who knows? And finally, you know, you protect your head from the mind control satellites with aluminum foil, but you have to be a lot more modern and hardcore if you're going to protect RFID using criminals from swiping your credit card info. There's a new Zippo wallet. It has a stainless steel outer shell that not only gives the wallet a sleek look, but also blocks radio frequency identification with its RF shield. In case you haven't heard it, RFID technology uses radio frequency electromagnetic fields to get data from a tag on an object or card. So it means that thieves can get that information from yards away without, they don't even have to touch you or come close enough for you to really notice that they're around. Concern over potential threats of RFID have grown as awareness about how many products containing the tags has increased. RFID tags can be found in medications, clothing, and other goods to track them throughout the manufacturing process. Although it doesn't, you know, the only thing, as I look at the Zippo stainless steel wallet, it doesn't have the cool kind of flip top like a Zippo lighter has. So they missed that opportunity. So it's got 6 slots for credit cards, an ID window, and a money pocket. Money pocket. And it's around $50 if you're looking to protect your information. And that's the news.
Thanks for that, Peter.
Yeah, Jay looks way too happy in his pictures from his trip. I worry that he's just going to decide we're going to get an email that he's just never coming back.
I've seen in a couple of his tweets the word tipsy, so I think that's what you're seeing.
We've got a call in the queue, but we need more phone calls.
713-526-5738 if you want to talk to us. 713-526-KPFT. This is Technology Bytes. We help you with your computer problems. Most of them, anyway.
And we teach you about Krampus.
That's right.
We can just be general life counselors, too, I think.
You know,
better living through technology. Yeah.
So people with, like, marital problems should call
Oh, yeah, there's a solution. There's got to be an app for that, huh?
That's right. All right. So who's up first, Groovehouse?
All right. Up first on the Jay Lee Free Show, we are going to speak with Clint.
Hello, Clint.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going on?
I have a gaming laptop. It was a Sager laptop, and I had system Windows 7 installed on it. And it's acting really funny, and it was kind of on the cusp when it was sold that whether it would work on XP or 7. So I've got to go back down to 7. My question is, what is a really good XP Windows image backup, if you will? I've tried Symantec. I'm not crazy, but is there another one that you guys know of that's really good?
When you say Symantec, you talk about Norton Ghost?
Yeah, Ghost, yeah.
There's another one out there called Acronis True Image, and you might try
that.
Okay. But just out of curiosity, why did you go back to XP on a new machine?
Well, it wasn't a new machine. This is an old gaming laptop I've had that's probably 3-4 years old.
Oh, even so, XP is 11 years old. So, you know, that probably was a Windows 7 machine when it was designed.
Well, I think so, too. But I've installed Windows 7 on it twice. Uh-huh. It works for about an hour, and it seizes. I put new RAM, new hard drive. I've updated the video driver, 3 different kinds, and I'm all out of, you know, tricks.
But it's fine under XP. It'll run forever on XP?
It runs on XP fine. Doesn't have the backup, built-in backup that 7 does. But I'm thinking, well, okay, I'll go back to XP because I want it as a work laptop, and I just can't handle it just freezing all the time like that, like it does.
Did you go through and just make sure that all the drivers were matching up correctly and everything kind of looked as it should under Windows 7?
Yeah, I did. I looked at the tree. There's no exclamation marks. I've upgraded the drivers for mostly video. God, what else? I don't think I could find one for the chip because they didn't make any more. It's on the Sager website, and I went there, and I downloaded the drivers again to make sure I had the most recent ones. I spent hours on this, and I just thought I'd call you guys to say, you know, are you familiar with gaming laptops like Sager?
I've not heard of that particular brand. I mean, I'm familiar with, like, Alienware and so forth, but I'm not familiar with that particular brand.
Well, it's in that league. It's screaming fast. It's, you know, I could give you the specs on it, but I don't want to shelve it, you know?
Right.
I'll go back to XP just to be able to use it for video editing and other things that I do for work, but I like it as a work laptop. So,
what's the model number on there?
Oh God, you would know? Ask. I don't have it in front of me. Sager. Mm-hmm.
One of the benefits of having a gaming laptop is that there's usually a decent community of fairly knowledgeable people who use it as well. Have you looked around on Sager's website for their community forums and perhaps posted your issues there?
Well, here's the thing. It's not a true Sager laptop. It's an extreme gaming laptop, but it has the Sager shell, and it has the extreme insides, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I have gone on forums, and some people say, yeah, mine works fine on 7. And other people go, no, can't use 7. I got to go back to XP, and I could never find out what the real thing was.
You know, one thing that you might try just out of curiosity, because it treats graphics differently, and if graphics is the issue, that this might be worth trying. There is an enterprise version that's a trial version of Windows 8.
Uh-huh.
And you just might try grabbing that and try running that. Windows 8 handles graphics, particularly on the desktop, differently. It doesn't have the arrow feature to it, but it supposedly will run Windows same games that run on Windows 7 just fine. So it's possible.
I haven't communicated. I don't play games. I use it for video editing.
No, but what I'm saying is because this is a gaming machine, it should be able to handle Windows 8 as well. So give that a try before you fall back to something that's that old, because a lot of times, you know, what you may end up with running Windows XP is that there's increasingly software that won't run on Windows XP.
Right.
It expects 7 or better.
Hey, just out of curiosity, were you going to the Sager website to get the device drivers, or were you going directly to the vendors to get the device drivers?
Well, here's the sad story. When I bought the laptop, it was delivered to me along with another fellow. 2 weeks later, the website, the phone numbers closed down. I was one of the lucky people who got the laptop delivered. There was no support. I lost, you know, the 3-year support warranty that I paid, and I just swallowed it. It's an Extreme laptop, NP9262 is the number.
9262. You may want to redefine lucky, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, it worked for 3 years. I mean, it was fine. I'm, you know, it didn't die on me. It could have been way worse. You know, I still got to use it, but I would have loved the tech support, but, you know.
Yeah, particularly right now, you could use some tech support with it.
Yeah, because I want to upgrade. I'm thinking, well, someone can point me. Can they point me to a driver that works? Or,
well,
like
the,
I said, it was kind of on the cusp.
Try using Acronis True Image to answer your original question, and that's supposed to be a very good imaging software. Barrett's got something for you.
No, I mean, just kind of a lot. Other people are having a lot of issues on that NP, the 9262, and then the model that you've, yeah, that's 9260, that's what you've got. So you're not the only one experiencing issues.
Oh, good.
So it looks like it locks up on Vista. It locks up on Vista and Windows 7. But some people are saying, like Dwight said, try out Windows 8. So, you know, get your XP, you know, freeze it, you know, or, you know, back it up, do whatever you need to, and then dive in with Windows 8 and see what it does.
Okay, so I'm going to install Windows 8 with XP drivers?
No, when you install Windows 8, it will find the drivers and it will install it itself.
Oh.
Windows 8 is a lot smarter about drivers than Windows XP or 7.
So I guess the question is, how far back do they go with, you know, with the hardware? I mean, how many years?
Well, if the hardware, if the hardware uses, you know, standard components, like say either an NVIDIA or an ATI graphics card, it'll use those graphics. So it shouldn't be, you know, chances are you'll be able to, you will be able to get drivers for it that will work.
Oh, this will be fun.
And it's an experiment. You know, you're doing it to find out, see what happens. And later you can always go back to XP.
True. Okay. All right, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks.
Old niche, well, not necessarily old, but niche machines. You know, when you go, I've never heard of Sager.
No, I had to look it up. Yeah. I mean, it's a popular gaming machine, but yeah, they're not really around anymore.
Right. Unless you're willing to build your own.
Pardon me.
Pardon me.
The chili.
That's cool.
Do you eat a lot of bits for lunch?
Yeah.
8 of them. Did we lose Peter?
That's Peter.
Wow.
Whoa.
That is way cool. He's a Cylon.
Oh, that's awesome.
From the old school Battlestar Galactica.
So that's Peter now crap. On the...
On the clear.
Wow.
Whoa. We surrender.
That's Skype Plus. That's the premium version of Skype you're listening to.
Wow. That's way cool.
That's not Daft Punk on the other line.
That's what it's like.
In the studio, Daft Punk. Well, we have some more calls, 713-526-5738, if you want to join these lucky folks. Groovehouse, who's next?
Up next on the show, we're going to speak with Bruce.
Hello, Bruce.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. One thing I was kind of half expecting to hear mentioned in the news segment, not that anyone in Houston can do anything about it, because we can't, but this business going on at the UN right now with the forces of darkness.
That is ugly business.
Grab control of the internet through this International Telecommunications Union. This is a big deal, and everyone, I think, in Houston should pay attention.
Yeah, it's for those who aren't aware, there started Monday a meeting of the various countries that participate in the International Telecommunications Union. This is a... the organization that traditionally creates the standards and the rules that allow interoperability between countries and between systems, and it has a lot of value, but a lot of folks, as the internet has grown and become more powerful, are not necessarily comfortable with the open and free internet, and they would like to have some more regulation.
Lock it down.
A lot of these people... a lot of these countries involved in it have very restrictive societies, and they would like to see to be better able to lock down their version.
The dubious thing that's happening now, though, it's a lot like with, you know, the early net neutrality confusion when people didn't really know what side to be on, is that they're saying, hey, we're doing this to keep the internet open and to protect it and to do all that. But it's a lot like the foxes lining up to say, hey, I know how we should protect the hen house. You know, that's kind of the feeling I get, you know.
Right,
so,
right. And the meetings are being held behind closed doors. You know, the chances are you can protest all you want, but it's not going to do much good. You just kind of have to be vigilant as to what comes out on the other side. The nice thing is that this is a treaty, so in order for it to take hold, the countries that involve their various legislative bodies would have to ratify the treaty. What you could end up doing is having a balkanization of the internet, where some countries treat it some way and others treat it another. You know, well, you could hope that the United States would be on the free and open side.
Well, a lot of people have come out, like Tim Berners-Lee and a lot of, you know, Google people. All the big major players have come out, you know, against this in opposition. And I've got faith that the internet, you know, has a tendency to do really well at routing around faults. And I would see this as a very large fault. And I would think that the internet would go on and route around those countries that choose to participate. But it is kind of scary because we don't really know what's going on right now.
Right. It's a black box for the most part.
Yeah, I think the forces of light will win, but, you know, maybe like do a little mention of it in your news segment every week until the forces of darkness are beaten back, you know, and it's all resolved.
Yeah, we're going to need a big stick.
Yes, yes. And certainly having a mention on Technology Bites will scare the living daylights out of them. So.
Yeah, there you go.
We have a lot of NGOs that tune in, I'm sure, right?
All right, thanks for calling. Interesting topic.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right.
We could probably use more calls, too.
Yeah, 713-526-5738. Put a groove house to work. 713-526-KPFT. And speaking of groove house, what you got for us?
Well, let's see. Up next, we are going to speak with John.
Hey, John. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I recently purchased a computer for my kids for their schoolwork and all that. And, of course, it's an HP desktop. Everything's fine. Wonderful machine. However, you know, it comes with the antivirus or with Norton and all that. And of course they give it to you for 3 months or something like that. I was thinking of extending it or buying Kaspersky or one of the popular softwares are out there. And I guess it depends on what everyone believes to be the best or the better protection available out there. But my brother was telling me that what he utilizes, and I wanted to get your thoughts or y'all's thoughts on it, is that he utilizes Microsoft's essential
security essentials
available for free, right? And he combines that with the malware software that you can get, and I think you pay something like $25-$24 for a lifetime deal. And with the combination of those two, he's of the belief, and he's not had any problems with any kind of virus but the belief is that he is fully protected. And I just would appreciate your thoughts, because comments as to what's good to protect.
So, do you know the name of this other piece of software that he's purchased?
If you get it off the internet,
you can get a lot of antivirus software off the internet. What do you know the name?
I apologize. I don't have it.
Well, there's the reason I ask is that there's a big caveat. You don't want to run two antivirus programs that essentially sit in the background and watch for bad behavior, because they will often conflict with each other, dramatically slow your computer down and cause you grief. If it's a program that you buy and you have to run it in order for it to scan and check something and it doesn't do anything in the background, that's fine. But whenever I hear somebody saying, oh, I'm running this program and they both run in the background, that's a recipe for problems.
Well, what he said and what he had done is before he went ahead and installed it or before he went ahead and went forward with it, and again, I apologize for not knowing the name of it. It was something that worked compatibly with the Microsoft Essentials antivirus,
Well, if he's certain of that that's not an issue. Microsoft Security Essentials, I have used it on several Windows machines, and I've had mixed results with it. Okay. It has been through several versions. The version previous to the current one let a lot of stuff through, and I put it on my father's PC, and it frequently let things through, and I was wound up having to do tech support with him. The current version, I think, is better, but I'm a little wary of it. I just am not sure that it's tough enough. The free one that I recommend is AVG Free. And Kaspersky is also very good, but AVG Free seems to be quite good. And you can even it's a free program, but it has multiple layers of protection, and you can decide which of the layers you want to run. So if you have it on full blast and it is bogging your computer down and giving you performance issues, you can dial back some of the various pieces, and I kind of like that.
But you know, and I guess it's like anything, you get what you pay for. Right. I mean, you know, obviously, if it's free, then it begs the question: if it's free, then why doesn't everybody get it? And as a result, you know, no one pays, you know, goes and buys the stuff that costs you money, you know, like Norton or Persky. So, is that a wrong line of thinking, or would you say, or could argument be made? Well, because you pay $89 or $90 or whatever Norton, let's just use Norton, and I don't know what your thoughts are on Norton 360 is, but let's say you pay $90 for Norton 360, is that better than getting AVG, what do you call it, AVG Free?
AVG Free, right.
Okay, would that be better than AVG Free?
Well, I mean, you can also pay for AVG too. They do have a non-free version. I think with some of the Norton stuff, and it may have changed in the past, at least what we run at work, it seems to be a little bit more of a resource hog. If you absolutely have to pay and you want a big name, I've had pretty good luck with Symantec endpoint protection. But again, it's looking at a lot of things. You're going to take a little bit of a hit.
That's a corporate.
And that's a corporate kind of solution. So, you know, I don't know. I've had fine luck with AVG, and they do have a paid version, but I'm not really sure what the differences between the two are.
One of the things that you have to keep in mind about antivirus software is that that's not really the only thing that you need to keep yourself safe. If you run antivirus software, but you don't regularly keep your operating system and your programs updated regularly and make sure that everything that you run has the latest patches and fixes, then things will get through even if you have decent antivirus software. You also want to make sure that you don't go to websites that traditionally are infected with malware. You want to stay away from porn sites and gambling sites.
Right. Know, well, so, I mean, that
But the main thing is that, you know, with Norton and AVG and all of the kind of big name ones, they do what they have to do to try to keep you protected. You want to look for software that updates regularly. I know that AVG will update a couple of times a day if necessary, if new variants are found. I'm not sure if Norton does it that often. Microsoft Security Essentials, I think, updates maybe a couple of times a week. So,
So you really like this AVG.
That's the one generally that I recommend. But that said, there have been times when I've looked at AVG Free and took it off and said, you know, I'm going to give Microsoft Security Essentials a shot. So they just as with hardware, you know, some computers, you know, for one cycle they're great. The next cycle the hard drive breaks. The same thing is true with software. Software will run through that cycle. What I would recommend you do is do a search, find the most recent version of any of the software programs that you're running, and then do a Google search on it and see what discussions are being said about the current version. If you're seeing people complaining that things are getting through on, say, the current version of AVG Free or Microsoft Security Essentials, then you know you might want to look elsewhere.
Sure. Okay.
Does that help?
Good, thanks. No, you've been very helpful. Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The big thing there is anything is better than nothing. So the fact that he's concerned about that is a good thing.
Well, you know, what's interesting about Windows 8, we talked about Windows 8. Windows 8 has a rudimentary antivirus program in it. Starting it with Vista, Windows came with anti-spyware. And that was also the case with Windows Defender. That was also the case with Windows 7. But in Windows 8 now, there is antivirus software. So in theory, you could run with just that. You know, Microsoft has kind of done the minimum with that. And I think it's still called Windows Defender in Windows 8. But Microsoft Security Essentials will work, too, if you want, like, that next level of protection.
I've got a scary Windows 8 question.
Oh, yeah?
Is the bar really called the Charm bar?
Yes, the Charm.
Is that for real?
Yes, it's called the Charm.
Why?
Why? I read that and I was like, on a Mac.
I know, but that's why.
It shouldn't matter to you.
Double click on the cutesy button and then, yeah, that's the Charm bar.
Well, it's called the Charm bar because each one of those little icons are called the Charm, right?
Oh, it's so sweet.
Yes.
Yeah. You can also get them from James Avery.
Or out of a cereal box.
Or out of a cereal box. Exactly.
Ah, Lucky Charms.
That's right. My Little Charm.
And people say Balmer lacks charm.
He's got at least five.
Peter was understandable.
That's right. He was. That's good.
We flipped over to voice call through Google.
Oh, so the Google
protocol
is doing better.
I don't know if that did it or not, but he sounds better.
Excellent.
Yeah, you sound good.
He sounded like he was on a landline. I was looking up here trying to figure out how he dialed in. So that's cool.
Excellent.
All right. Okay, so we'll take another call. Who's next?
All right. Up next on the show, we're going to speak with Alicia.
Hello, Alicia.
Hi, how are you? It's Felicia.
Oh. Felicia.
Sorry.
Yes. You're fired, Groovehouse. All right, we need you back.
Fail, phone fail.
We're going to bring you back for less salary, though.
Okay. So what can we do for you tonight, Felicia?
So I started to have this issue with my computer. If I've been on it for about an hour and a half, the keystrokes that I'm typing, they just start typing numbers, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 9, and then it starts over at 0.
And
so no matter what key I push, no matter how many times I push it, it just keeps going in that number pattern, and it doesn't stop until I shut the computer down completely.
You mean it's...
But it only does it in a web browser. If I type a Word document or something in Notepad, it types just fine. But if I'm typing anything, like trying to enter my email, log in, or anything into a website, it just keeps with that number pattern.
What kind of computer is this?
HP.
And it's with all the different web browsers, or?
Yeah, it does it in Internet Explorer and Mozilla.
Sounds like a browser hijack to me.
It sounds like possibly spyware or malware, some kind of malware. If it only does it in a web browser, it sounds like you may have something infected. Do you run an antivirus, anti-spyware program on your computer?
Yeah, I have the Constant Guard through Comcast, and I think they're using Norton.
Is it Norton or is it McAfee?
Norton. That's Norton. The icon I have.
All right. And do you keep it updated?
Yeah, last updated 21 hours ago.
Right. And when did you last do a full scan of your computer?
I don't manually do anything. I think I have it set to do it automatically.
You might want to dig into the settings and do a full scan, a deep scan of that computer, and see if you can find anything. The other thing you might want to do is download another program called Malware Bytes.
Okay.
Which you can find some links to it on the geekradio.com website.
Okay.
Look for the spyware link, and you can run that as kind of a, it doesn't run in the background like the Norton stuff does, so it's okay to have on your computer. Run that and see if it sees anything, but that sounds classically like some kind of a browser hijack or some kind of spyware.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so download this Malware Bytes and then do a full scan in my Norton.
Right.
Okay, I'll try that out.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Have you ever had that happen, Barrett, where your keys got stuck so that they...
I mean, I've had
they
users...
repeat 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2...
No, I've had, like, some alt keys. Oh. <I've>, ha ha. Oh. No. Usually that goes away when I turn off my numlock.
So there's an issue with some Macs. I was actually going to guess this if she had a Mac, where the battery starts to swell, and it pushes up on the bottom, and it can cause random keystroke. But it usually causes the trackpad to quit working.
Yeah, but it's weird that it would always go like she said, it's always sequential and it repeats.
Right.
That's someone messing up some malware is what that is.
Right.
Someone misprogrammed that.
Right.
Because it could be like a keylogger, it could be something weird that's just grabbing the browser, and you know, who knows.
Yeah, I suspect when she runs that search, she'll find something. All right, Groovehouse, who's next?
All right, up next on the show, we are going to speak with Abe.
Abe, how are you tonight?
Hi, and you?
We are good.
I'm trying to figure this thing out, but my question is still about YouTube making favorites. I guess I was playing with it while I was on hold, and I guess you actually have to play the video in order to
favorite it.
Yeah,
well, I don't know. You've got to be logged in and on the video page, but I didn't know you had to be playing to favorite. I thought you could just hit the favorites button down below the video.
Well, on my iTouch, yeah, you just played and hit favorites. But on this one, I was looking up the subject, and it didn't give me anything to add. It just
What are you on? What device are you using?
It's something I got from Walmart. It's a ZTE.
Like, is it Android or is it?
Yeah, it's Android based.
But it's pulling up in a normal web browser, or do you have like a YouTube app? Are you using the YouTube app for Android?
On YouTube, I guess it's the YouTube app's homepage. You got your search, and I put in search, put my subject in there, and then it shows them all. But I guess you have to actually play something and then make it a favorite. On the iPhone, you can just...
That's right. There's a little star next to it. You just tap it.
Right. This one is... I was while I was on hold, I was playing with it, and I guess when you actually have picked the one that you want out of all the showings there.
Barrett's looking at it. He has Nexus 4.
You can. This is on Nexus 4, but you can actually pull it up, and then there's a little arrow where you can expand out more information. And no, you can't favorite it. You can thumbs up, thumbs down. You can subscribe to the channel, but unless you play,
if I hit the like, then it allowed me to. It had like a piece of paper, kind of like one behind the other, kind of.
That's a paste. That's a copy to the clipboard.
Yeah.
Hey, Barrett, what if you pull up the menu, hit the little menu button on the bottom of the phone? Does it?
Oh, yeah, let me check that out. Hang on.
It might have a favorite.
I tried that, too, and mine just has channel upload settings.
Yeah, there's like, dislike, copy URL. There's no, you know what? You can add to. Oh, yeah, do that. So, you know the little, the three dots, the three vertical dots?
Mine doesn't have that. Mine has home, browse, search, settings, upload, and channel. My channel.
Okay. So you've got the YouTube application, right? So it actually says YouTube up top left.
Right.
And then do you have like a share and a magnifying glass and then three buttons in a row?
Across from the YouTube icon.
It has YouTube, and then it has all time, and then the search.
And you don't have anything to the right of the search?
No.
What version of Android are you running?
Unknown. I think it was the latest, I guess, at the time I got the phone.
Time you got the phone, how old is the phone?
I got it about 2 months ago.
It should. I don't know what's going on. It should be there. Just double check. See if you can't slide something down. But there should be with most of the YouTube applications, regardless, I think, of what version of Android you're running. You should just be able to pull it down, and there's like this like copy URL flag. Look for those things, and there's an add to. And when you go to add to, you can either choose watch now, new playlist, or you can add it to favorites. At least on mine.
Are you signed in to your YouTube account?
I must be, because it showed my email in there.
Because when on this, I'm looking at it on a Galaxy Note 2, and it's not there unless you sign in. We've got to take a break. Hey,
Abe, do you want to hang on and we can come back to you, or?
Or do you have what you need?
Yeah, but when I play it, then it gives me the option to add
it.
Okay, well, hey, we got to go. We'll be right back. If you want to drop off, do so, but we'll be right back. You're listening to 90.1 KPFT. He is
Peter Hughes.
Inflicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
No J. Lee. Yeah, back in 2 minutes.
You got it.
Listener members like you have received ballots to vote to seat members of our board, but you need to mail back your ballot or risk losing this opportunity. Hi, I'm General Manager Dwayne Bradley, here to tell you our election deadline is days away. As of Monday, December 3rd, KPFT was about 60% toward reaching quorum, so we're asking you to vote now. Visit kpft.org for election information. Don't forget, your ballot needs to be received by Tuesday, December 11th. By some estimates, you may be able to drop your ballot in the mail Friday at the latest and still arrive in New York. Consider using priority first class mail if you've waited that long, but do get it in the mail. Your vote matters. Visit KPFT.org to learn more about the candidates and issues. This is KPFT Houston.
KPFT is supported in part by the West University Baha'i community. A moment for reflection. Strive that your actions, day by day, may be beautiful prayers. Turn toward God and seek always to do that which is right and noble. For more information, or to visit your local community, visit www.bahai.us or call 1-800-22-UNITE. You are listening to community-sponsored Radio for Peace, KPFT Houston.
All right, we're back. You're still listening to Technology Bites on 90.1 FM KPFT. Keys. Do we still have to do that? Do we have to say our names?
No,
at the top
we
every
did
hour?
It. We already did.
Oh, we do it on the way out? Okay.
We do it on the way out.
I'm just
right.
covering all the bases.
Right,
yeah.
right.
That's good.
I'll visit you guys in jail.
What?
FCC.
Oh,
isn't,
yeah.
that, isn't that a huge violation?
No.
It's like tearing tags off mattresses?
It's
no?
just tearing tags off.
Okay.
It's just top of the hour.
Yes.
Like.
So we were comparing. We were comparing Android phones. I've got a Galaxy Note 2 here. Barrett's running the Nexus
4 with Jelly Bean 4.2.
Right. And the menu item that was missing from the caller's screen.
Who's still on the line, by the way?
Let's bring him on.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, you're back on with us.
Yeah. So I have a Samsung Galaxy Note 2 here. And it is also lacking the menu item that Barrett was describing. But if you hit the menu button at the bottom, is this a Samsung phone?
A Track phone. All right, well, it's something. It's off brand. It's by Track phone.
All right. Well, at the bottom, there's a menu button on and if you hit that menu button, I was able to get an add to menu item, which then takes me to favorites, and I don't have to be playing it to see that.
Okay. Now I've got it up now. I see a little heart there, and then I found my favorites in there. And I did add it to it. It looks like it had to be
all playing. Right.
So they did show up in there. But I was also trying to do it in that other program, TuneIn Radio. That one had a little heart there, but mine's missing the heart.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, it's a different application.
Right.
Okay, then that was helpful on the YouTube because it looks like it's...
Well, what's interesting is that the Samsung one doesn't have it. Barrett's Nexus 4 does. This is... 4.1, I believe, and so that's 4.2.
4.2.
Yeah.
And then on my iPhone, it's just YouTube, and then there's another, I think, something
right.
else, and it has favorites,
right.
and just hit it right then and there.
Right. Well, so now you know how to do it everywhere.
Yeah, except on my tablet, which I don't fool with that thing. It's
right.
some off-brand thing.
All right.
Just
all right,
go back to Palm.
I got rid of that thing.
Good.
Yeah, joking around. All right.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Bye.
Yes, that was Dave the Palm guy, I think.
Yes.
I know that voice.
Yep.
All right, well, moving on up in the world.
He is.
Yeah, new tech. That's
and
good.
And we have a phone number.
713-526-5738. If you want to join us in the second hour of Technology Bites, 713-526-KPFT on our J. Lee Free episode of Technology Bites. So
is it also a Barrett time free episode?
It's Barrett.
It is, because I was sick last week, and I swear Groovehouse said that there wouldn't be a Barrett time this time for fundraisers. So I came in thinking we were going to have a fundraiser.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why. I was fevered.
Sick.
I was delirious.
You had
but,
fever.
You know, you could talk about one thing we have to talk
well,
about.
Well, we do have, yeah, we do have a geek
things.
Gathering.
Oh, yeah, too. Geek gathering on Friday.
Yes.
At cons.
I mean, uh-huh. hadn't even mentioned that yet.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's because we're slipshod. We have a geek gathering 7:30 on Friday at Cons,
Friday.
Which is at the corner of Milam and Drew. It's our new location for the Geek Gathering. It's a great place for a Geek Gathering.
This is like the fourth or fifth one there, right?
Yeah, we've had it there for a while now. Right. So weather should be good. We can set up outside again. There's going to be a DJ who's taking requests on the Facebook page.
Right.
He never should have done that. I requested 8-bit music.
Awesome.
We'll see what he brings. And there's going to be an art show, possibly. They've got beer. They've got wine. I assume
good
they might
prices,
have coffee.
Very good prices.
I haven't drank any coffee there. And they're open to outside food. You've got, first of all, you've got a ton of really cool Vietnamese food all in the area. Mm-hmm. Some of the best places are right around in there.
Right.
And then you can order food if you want to bring it into the Geek Gathering. And bring all your tech, bring your friends, bring whatever you'd like. This Friday.
Good Wi-Fi, good company, good food and drink. So we would love to see you there.
Now, if you can't afford to go all the way overseas in search of Krumpuses or Krumpi like Jay Lee, what can you do here in Houston?
Thursday, tomorrow night, there is the Krumpus Crampage. It's on the it starts at Avant Garden.
Uh-huh. We should probably put it on the Tech Bytes Facebook page if we can do a link to it. Yeah, it starts at Avant Garden at 7:30. I think it's sponsored by Southmore House.
Right.
They've had a couple of costume making sessions, and they also said if you're thinking of coming out because you don't have a costume, don't worry, we've got you covered. What that means, I don't know.
They'll stick some horns.
Maybe they'll cover you in fur and horns and bags full of child beating sticks. Who knows? But
or you will be one of the children that is beat by the Krampi. Put in the basket.
It's a pub crawl, and these people dressed as Krumpuses will go from bar to bar getting progressively more drunk.
These people were probably planning on it being cold in December.
And belligerent.
And belligerent. It is not fur weather here in Houston.
No. So if you're looking at Jay's pictures on baldheretic.com and you must have your own personal Krampus, this is the way to do it.
Those are some pretty impressive costumes.
Very impressive costumes.
If you go to his Flickr site, you can see a lot of pictures on there, too.
Right. Is that flickr.com/baldheretic?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And it's pretty. There's some pretty impressive. People put a lot of time and effort and probably money into those outfits.
Yes. All right, 713-526-5738.
Groove.
Yes.
Who do we have next?
All right, up next on the show, on the second half of the Jay Lee Free Show, we are going to speak with John.
Hey, John, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I have a little question. First of all, I just bought a new laptop for my wife. She's 80 years old, doesn't know a darn thing about them. I'm about as bad, but the only thing you can get these days is Windows 8. I even got a little Windows 8 for Dummies book. I started looking at that thing. That is the most confusing, convoluted mess I've ever seen. So this is kind of a goofy question from a previous caller about XP. Would there be any chance, if I could find one, a copy, to install good old XP on this Windows 8 machine?
Are they going to have all the current drivers, Dwight? Are they still manufacturing XP drivers?
Well, the problem is that when you have a brand new computer, because Windows XP is so old, the hardware manufacturers aren't even bothering to do drivers for Windows XP on the newer hardware.
Okay.
So you could try installing it, but there's a good chance things may not work or they may not work as well as they could. You have a couple of options there. You can downgrade to Windows 7 and get a copy of Windows 7. You do have what are called downgrade rights, so that's an option. The other thing is that although Windows 8 has two sides to it. There's the Metro side, which is the flat touch-based side. And it still has the traditional Windows desktop on it. That is still there.
Mm-hmm.
The main difference is that there's no start menu. When you want to go to the start menu, you're taken to the tiles. So if you kind of think of the tiled side as just oversized icons that you would have found in the start menu, and you work from there and try to stay keep your programs on the traditional Windows-based side, it kind of begins to make sense if you think of it as just a different form of the start menu. And once you get the software that you're used to installed on the desktop side of Windows 8, you could pretty much stay there. You know, the only time you have to move over is if you want to use one of the built-in apps that come with it, or if you decide you want to install software that runs on the Metro side, and some of the settings require you to go over to the Metro side. But once you get the hang of it, it's not that confusing. The other option you could do is you could get a Mac.
Well, I'd have to take this one back and get my money back. I haven't even opened it yet or even played with it. Now, you said I could downgrade to 7.
Right.
How would I do that? I have to buy a 7 program?
You can. I have not done this, and I'm not familiar with the financial part of it. Yes, if you do a Google search for downgrade to Windows 7, mm-hmm. or downgrade rights Windows 7, you should be able to see exactly how it will work. You may have to get your copy from the manufacturer. So you say it's an HP?
Yes, sir.
You may have to contact HP and say, look, I'd like to downgrade to Windows 7, and they will send you the disk. Is this a lot of the new Windows 8 notebooks have a touch screen? In other words, as well as the keyboard, you can actually touch the screen to activate things.
Yeah, this one doesn't have that.
That does not have it.
This is just, I'll be using a mouse because I can't use those little touchpad thingies.
What brand of machine is it? Do you know?
He said it's an HP.
HP?
HP 4 gig 500 hard drive. It's an AMD A8 with the Windows 8.
Do you have Windows 8 Pro or just Windows 8?
Gosh, probably what came with it would be just the plain 8.
It's saying here, at least as of a week ago, Hewlett-Packard does not support downgrades of consumer-grade Windows 8 PCs to Windows 7. Unless you buy Windows 8 Pro, you can't do it.
Right, so unless it has Windows 8 Pro, you're pretty much stuck using Windows 8. So here's what I would recommend doing. Take it out of the box, go ahead and get it set up, and just play with it. Don't try to install any of your software on it. Just use it as is, mm-hmm. and just poke around on it. You know, kind of get a feel for how it works, how it interacts between going back and forth, and give it about a week or so mm-hmm. without like trying to do work on it.
Okay.
You know, it's not where you're getting frustrated with it, but more like you're exploring. And I think what you'll find is you'll figure out ways to understand it and work with it. There is one of the first tiles on the main start screen is one that just says desktop, and click that and it'll be instantly familiar to you. Particularly if you're used to Windows 7, if you've used Windows 7.
No, I have just XP.
Yeah, if you're going straight from Windows XP to the Windows 8 desktop, if you've seen Windows 7, that's what it looks like.
Okay, because I read in PC Mag that everybody screams and hollers about this start menu and start button and all that. There's some third-party applications that, I can't remember the name of them, that will, you download them and it'll turn it where you do have a desktop with all the icons.
Right, and the problem with that is that it kind of approximates the experience of having a start menu again.
Yeah.
It's not precise. Mm-hmm. If you're used to the start menu behaving in certain ways, it often falls short of those. So, you know, don't expect that to be a panacea.
Yeah.
Again, what I'd recommend is living with it just as is and explore it before you actually try to do any work on it. If at the end of a week and you've poked around on it and you just can't get the hang of it, then consider taking it back and possibly getting a Mac.
Mm-hmm. Now, earlier you said that Windows 8 has a antivirus built in, or is it one of those Microsoft Defender thingies?
It is called Windows Defender, but it's full antivirus. In Windows 7 and Windows Vista, it was only spyware protection. Uh-huh. This has full virus and spyware protection.
Okay, because when I bought it, I got it at Best Buy, they gave me a free copy of, I chose WebRoot. Get it free for 6 months, but mm-hmm. if this thing already has an antivirus, I really wouldn't want to.
Yeah, you may. Again, it's a very basic antivirus,
and it's
possible because it's HP usually has a deal with Norton, and so Norton may actually already be installed on it,
yeah.
which you'll see once you fire it up.
Yeah. One other quick question. Normally when I download something like a little antivirus program or like CCleaner, a window pops up right in the middle and it says, ready to download where you want to put it. And so you tell them, okay, put it there.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? I tried to download something the other night, and in the lower left-hand corner, now this is an XP machine,
mm-hmm.
it said downloading. It was some little arrow jumping up and down in the lower left-hand corner. Okay, let's say I would have let it run. I was kind of scared. I didn't know what was happening, so I turned it off. What if I would have let it run? Will it pop back up in the middle and say, okay, I've been downloaded. What do you want to do with me? Or
it sounds like you have some kind of downloader program that's pulling it in. Whether it's legitimate or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
There are programs that are plugins to your browser, or that if you go to a specific site, some sites require you to use their downloader to download the software, depending on what it is. So, but if you're, do you know what the software was that you
yeah,
were trying
it,
to?
It was one of those Start 8. Where it downloads a start button and all that on Windows 8, and it was from a pretty reliable website.
But you said you hadn't taken this one out of the box yet.
No, I'm sorry. Let me back up. I was on my XP machine,
uh-huh.
and I was looking up this program for a start menu for 8.
Oh, I see.
And I ran across, I can't remember the name of it, and so I just pushed download just for the poof of it, and all it didn't. Put the window in the middle. It started this little business down in the left corner.
What browser are you using?
Chrome.
That's
built into Chrome. So
right.
Pretty much instead of, you know, like with Firefox or IE, how you'd have a separate little downloads window that you'd have to hit, like, you know, like window J4 to see, Chrome will automatically bring up a bar at the bottom and manage your downloads. So when you click on that, first of all, it'll give you like the status, how far it's downloaded, and then you can either click on it, choose to launch it, or show the containing folder, stuff like that. So that's built into Chrome.
Yeah, if you're using Chrome, okay. That's normal.
Okay, so if I would have let it run, and all of a sudden there'd have been a little icon, for lack of better words, in the lower left-hand corner, and I click on it, and it would pop up and say, okay.
It yep. would it'd give you some options. Mm-hmm.
It'd give me some options.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gotcha.
That's what that
okay.
is. That's Chrome. That's Chrome doing it.
Yeah, and if you were to download multiple things at once, you'd have one of those for each of the active downloads that you had.
It's
a neat thing. It keeps it kind of at the forefront instead of, you know, figuring out, where did my download window go?
Right.
So it's, you know, they change up things a little bit every once in a while.
I see. That's good to know. All right, gentlemen, listen, thank you very much. You've been very kind.
Thank you. Good luck. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
I like the idea of exploring, because that's all that makes it fun. When
right.
you have deadlines and you have to get work done, that makes it frustrating.
That can really color your experience. Right. When people get something like Windows 8 that's completely new and the first thing they do is, I got to put my programs on it. Don't put your programs on it. Just sit back, poke around, walk away from it for a night, you know, sleep on it, come back, poke around on it some more, so that it becomes something where you're working with it instead of trying to make it work for you.
You need to write a book with that. And so the first five, you know, day one, just admire your new laptop.
Absolutely.
First sentence, close this
burn
book.
Incense.
That's right, close this
burn
book.
Burn incense and drink tea with your laptop.
That's right.
With your new Windows 8 machine.
One of the things I tell people anytime they buy new technology, of course, this runs completely antithetical to what they want to do, take the manual out of the box and sit down in a chair and just read the manual. Particularly if you're building a computer and you look at the motherboard, read the manual. And then what will happen is when you go back to it later and you pull the motherboard out, you say, oh yeah, that's right. That's the slot where that goes. That's the thing I was supposed to look for. And you won't remember it all, but there'll be some recognition to it when you pull it out later. And I'm a big fan of kind of letting your brain soak it up first before you actually try to use it.
I would prefer it if the instruction were like, find the back of your laptop. Now give it a rub.
Hum to your laptop. Hum. 713-526-5738 is our phone number. You call that, you can talk to us. We'll help you with your technology woes.
Life coaching is what Dwight's
life
doing.
Coaching.
Yeah.
Life coaching. All right, Groove House.
Yes.
who's next?
All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with George.
George, you've been waiting a long time.
Yeah, but it's okay.
You sound bitter and resentful.
Hey.
No, no. Not at all. I was just thinking of, I was thinking what my question was, and there's cell phones. I'm looking at getting an upgrade on my cell phone. But I haven't seen anything really impressive come out. I'm not an Apple guy. I'm not an iPhone person. But other than that, do you see anything coming down the line that's going to be really cool to
wait
for?
I was sitting in the same situation you were for a few months. I had a Samsung Nexus Galaxy, and I lost it, and I was in no hurry to replace it because there was nothing out there that was compelling to me. So while I don't think that there are like any uber killer phones, the Nexus 4 just came out. If you can get a hold of one of those, Google Play Store has been kind of sold out of them. I think you can get them through Sprint on contract. That phone, just to hold it in your hands, I really, really like.
It's on T-Mobile.
It's on, I'm sorry, T-Mobile. I said Sprint. It's on T-Mobile. You can get it through T-Mobile. That is the Nexus 4. So it's like the official Google phone. It's a lot of people are drawing comparisons to the iPhone 4. It's glass front, glass back. A developer lost it in a bar, just like the iPhone 4. but it feels really, really nice. Or you could, Dwight right here is sporting and it depends on how big of a phone you want, but if you've got big hands, Dwight's got a Galaxy Note 2, which is pretty cool. It gets, you know, a lot of looks. They call it kind of a phablet.
Yes.
You know, half phone, half tablet, which is pretty big. And then the other really cool stuff that I've been kind of eyeing, if I couldn't get a hold of the Nexus 4, I would probably look at some of the HTC, like the One X.
The One X Plus.
So they just refreshed that line. Mm-hmm. So they've got two or three new phones that have come out. And then the old standby, which a lot of people are getting, but I think it's kind of aging now, is the Samsung S3.
The Galaxy S3. I still like the Galaxy S3. It's in terms of not an oversized phone, the Galaxy Note is 5.5 inches, which is just mammoth. What do you want to do with this phone? What do you anticipate doing with it?
Just I use it a lot for Google Maps. I use that a lot for my work as a EMS. I use that like all day on getting around. Nothing major. I don't do any work with it.
Do you use the web with it?
Yeah, just to check, you know, movie times.
Do you watch video on it?
No, I'm not a movie person on the phone. I'm not there yet.
All right.
I don't think I want to be.
Well, the Galaxy Note 2, which is just a really big phone, has a beautiful screen. It has one of the best displays I've seen. It's huge. I like to watch video on it. It's big enough that I'll sit and watch a video on it. I take it to the gym, and when I'm on the elliptical, I'll use it to watch television shows. It's great for maps because there's so much screen real estate on it. It's expensive. Okay. It's $300. It's not cheap.
And that's on contract, right?
And that's on contract, right. So the Galaxy S3 and the HTC One X are all about the same size. They're like almost 5 inches. And they also have a lot of screen real estate. And if you do a lot with maps, that might be something you want to consider. So I would take a look at those. The one thing about the Nexus 4, it does not use LTE.
Yeah, it's just 4G, so you're locked down to T-Mobile or Sprint. But I'm still getting decent speeds off that. And if you're not streaming movies and if you're just doing maps and stuff like that, I think it's probably okay. I just went to the Google Play Store. There are two models of the 4. There's an 8-gig local storage, because that's the other thing. It doesn't have an SD card, so whatever storage you've got is the storage you're stuck with. But they're actually, you can add the 16-gig model to your shopping cart right now, even though there's a 6-week lead time.
Yeah, you're waiting.
Yeah, you've got to wait 6 weeks for it. Unless you maybe like hit up eBay or something. But the nice thing about that is that the price that you pay it up front, and the phone's yours. It ships to you unlocked from Google.
Okay.
You can take it wherever you want to. And what a lot of people are doing is they're going and they're saving, you know, 10 or 15 bucks a month by doing, like, for instance, T-Mobile prepaid, to where you can, you know, buy unlimited data. You can buy all the plans, but the plans are priced competitively because you're not paying to subsidize the phone that they gave you for a pretty big discount at the beginning of a 2-year contract.
Yeah,
but I'm kind of with you, man. There's not anything that just really, really got me excited. So the things you're looking at right now are going to be on the big side, Galaxy Note 2. If you're down for a wait, something always could come out before and you could cancel the order, the Nexus 4. Or, if you want something immediately, check out the S3.
Was there someone speaking? This was months ago. I didn't call in. I just didn't have the time. Speaking of a 5G network maybe coming up early next year, I think it was.
AT&T is going to launch an advanced version of LTE. This is the version of LTE that eventually will carry voice traffic as well as data. But it's a ways off. It's not necessarily 5G, but it's an advanced version.
It's kind of what 4G should be, and they're still building out the current network. So
I wouldn't I wouldn't bet on that. I just get a phone that, that works on current networks. I wouldn't worry about the future for now.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, well, thank you all for your time.
All right, good luck on picking out a phone.
Thanks.
Yeah,
well, speaking of phones that you can watch a movie on, I've heard the most cringeworthy name for big screen phones. They call them phablets.
Yes.
Phablets. I don't know who came up with that. Maybe they thought it would be fabulous or something, but phablets. I've read that, and I actually like stopped, read it again, and then cringe.
It almost makes me not want to carry something that would be branded a phablet. Probably someone, the tablet manufacturers got in line with the smaller phone manufacturers and said, hey, how can we kill this hybrid? Let's call it phablet.
In the reviews I've written about various Android phones, I've complained about the size of them just because I have a difficult time. I like to do everything one-handed, and there's just no way on a big phone that you can do that, or I can do it comfortably. What's interesting is I kind of don't mind the Galaxy Note 2 as big as it is just because it's so big, I don't even try to do it one-handed. It's like that, the whole idea of doing that is ridiculous. So I'm actually like made peace with it, and I could see myself carrying one of these until I hold it up to my head to talk. And I feel like I've got a refrigerator next to my head. It's just huge.
Do you have to change up the arms so like you don't overdevelop biceps on your right arm?
I go to the gym a lot, so okay. I'm okay.
Hey, Pete.
All right.
Hey, Pete, what do you prefer to call a large phone tablet device? Do you have a name?
If it's big enough that it's a tablet, then it's a tablet. If it's a phone with a 5-inch screen, then it's a phone.
How about it's a phone with an almost 6-inch screen? What is that?
Too big. That's practically a tablet.
It's a phablet.
It's a phablet.
To me, the word phablet, if I were gonna like make that word describe something, it would be like the bags of excess fat after like you know people get liposuction.
Ew. See, to me, I think of like a small fabulous person is what I think of.
I think of it as a phantom tablet.
Uh huh.
The phantom tablet.
A fabulous toilet.
All right, 713-526-5738 is how you reach us. And we've got three people in the queue. We got room for more.
Who do we have now?
All right, up next on the show, we're going to speak with Jones.
Hey, Jones, thanks for holding. What can we do for you?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
Turn your radio down or off.
It's not on.
Okay. What can we do for you tonight?
Okay. I'm trying to install a wireless router. I got a Tinder, and I'm positive I got it hooked up. Right, it's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But after I do the install part, for some reason, my internet service is not coming through the router.
Are you on a cable modem, or who do you use for internet?
DSL. I use AT&T.
Do you have a two-wire device, or what? Actually, how does your internet come into the house? Like, is it just a straight-up router, or what do you have?
Yeah, it comes in through the phone line, through the router.
And then you're hooking up the access point directly into the Ethernet port of that router?
Yes. I hooked the router up to the modem.
Okay, and you've rebooted have you rebooted both the modem and then rebooted the one new Wi-Fi router since you've done this?
Have I rebooted?
Uh-huh. Like, have you pulled the power cord to the DSL modem and then, you know, at the same time have the Wi-Fi router, the new one, powered off, and then you power up the DSL modem. You let it sit for a minute or two, and then you power up the new Wi-Fi router, the TrendNet.
Okay. I kind of, sort of.
Have you talked to AT&T about this yet?
Yes.
What do they say?
Well, I talked to them about another router I was trying to install, but it was trying to change the password and the modem and all that kind of stuff, and I didn't need all that. I just wanted something basic, you know, and they recommended a gateway.
Well, a gateway is a type of router. I mean, all routers are gateways, essentially. So, have you called them about this specific router?
No.
I have had issues with AT&T DSL where some routers simply don't work. My son has AT&T DSL at his apartment, and we've been through three different routers, and we finally got an Apple Airport Express to work for him.
Wow.
And you know, we were on the phone with AT&T a couple of times and just could not get it to work. So I have a feeling that their DSL may be a little more finicky than others.
Oh, good.
One of the things they will do is they will rent to you a combination router and modem. It's in one box, and that will be guaranteed to work, so you don't have to go through this hassle. So you might want to talk to them about that.
How long did you get the TrendNet from someplace you can return it, or are you kind of out the money?
Yeah, MicroCenter's good about that.
Yeah, they've got a good return policy, so if it's within 30 days, take that back, tell them it didn't work with, you know, your AT&T connection, and then, you know, they'll probably charge you $4 or $5 a month for the hardware, but it's guaranteed to work because they're giving it to you. And then it's their problem, not your problem.
AT&T?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So maybe give them a call. Do you know what to ask for? Just ask them for the combo.
Call them and say that you would like a combo. Right now you just have a regular router. I mean, a regular DSL modem that you have to provide your own router, that you would like them to provide the router as a combo.
Okay.
And that'll simplify your situation.
Okay, Dan. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
All right.
Good night. All right. How much time do we have left in the show? We got about half an hour.
25 minutes.
About three. We got four open lines. So that's probably enough time for a few more calls.
Oh, yeah.
And that number is 713-526-5738.
Who's up next, Groove House?
All right. Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Yeah, I want to know, Dwight, what's your opinion of Windows 8?
My opinion of Windows 8. Well, we've been talking about Windows 8 quite a bit tonight. Have you heard any of it?
No, I haven't listened to you guys in a long time.
Okay. My opinion of Windows 8 varies depending on what's happening to me at the time. I kind of like it to a certain extent. I get what Microsoft is trying to do. I think it's good to see them innovating and just going, to hell with it. We're going to try something completely different. Something, you know, we know tablets are coming and that they're going to be a big deal. And we think that this is the way people want to use them. And we're going to do what we have to do. And that Microsoft hadn't done that in a while. And I think that that's pretty good. That said, I think the implementation of it stands to be improved. I'll be real interested to see Windows 9. Moving back and forth between the desktop and the tiled Metro interface is clunky at best, and you can set it up so that you stay pretty much on the traditional desktop side. If you try to stay on the Metro side, the apps that I've used generally don't have the same kind of power and capabilities that the ones on the Windows desktop side do. So there's kind of this bipolar situation with it, and it's not quite as seamless yet as it needs to be. I think it'll work out, but I think it may work out with Windows 9. That's kind of my current assessment.
Well, I have a MacBook right now, and I think it's 4 years old, so I need a new laptop. Would I buy a Mac, or would I buy one with a Windows on it?
Well, right now you're used to the Mac.
Right.
Can you afford a Mac?
Yes.
I would get the Mac.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, you can run Windows 8 on a Mac.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to try it, you can certainly do that either in boot camp or running it in virtualization if you want to play with it. But, you know, if you already have Apple software, you know, Mac OS software,
right.
You're used to the operating system and it's time to buy a new machine. If you're not feeling any great dissatisfaction with a Mac, I would go ahead and continue down that path. I don't see anything in Windows 8 intense enough to go, I'm going to dump my Mac.
Okay, thanks, Glenn.
That's what you wanted to hear, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So what's up with Windows releasing a new version of the operating system every single year?
They're going the same route that Apple has been doing. Okay. Apple's been doing kind of an update, one update a year.
Are they going to drop the prices on that? I wonder, is it going to be subscription?
The word subscription has not been used yet, but that's clearly where.
I thought I read an article that said that was with Windows Azure or whatever.
Blue.
Yeah,
Windows Blue.
They were
Blue screen.
Windows. I looked at that article, and they weren't talking about a subscription model, but they were talking about going to a yearly update cycle. There was no mention in it of whether you would. Of course, if you pay $20 a year and you get it, that's a de facto subscription. And that could be what happens. So, you know, but the question is, you know, would you pay by the month? And then, you know, if you don't make your payment, does Windows stop working?
No Windows for you. That's where they want it to go, I'm sure.
Yes, I'm sure.
I'm sure, yeah.
Like a magazine. All right, 713-526-5738. Groovehouse.
Yes.
What do we got?
What do we have? Up next, we have Nancy.
Hey, Nancy, you're on the air. What can we do for you tonight?
I hate Facebook.
Join the club.
What's it doing to you tonight?
Well, in the first place, I can't figure out what my login password number is, but what really bugs me is that there's one person who is a friend of mine, actually a board member of mine, who inundates my email with stupid messages.
That's the internet. That's what happens. The internet's made of nothing but pictures of cats and silly jokes.
Is there a way to have a face? I mean, the only reason I joined Facebook is so that I could blog on the Dynamo website.
Well, you can filter. Like, if you want to ignore people, you can go into the, I believe you can, settings on Facebook.
With messages, I don't know if you can with messages.
Oh, really?
Hmm. I think with Facebook messages, anybody can send you a message. I don't think you can block them. I may be wrong with that, but I don't think you can block them.
Is there a way to block my freaking email address so that I can't be inundated with Daryl every three seconds?
If it's email, you can turn off your notifications in Facebook so you don't get email notifications.
You just wouldn't see it. You can turn off the notifications to email so you wouldn't know he was on the Facebook webpage,
but you wouldn't get him as an email.
I managed to turn off the notifications to my cell phone, which was a real problem. But now I've still got this email thing coming in that's got... I mean, how can... This man needs to have a job.
So that's the danger, is that people are Facebooking at the job, and that's why, you know, no one does any work anymore.
Or stop aggravating. I mean, I've got
if you get so 13 annoyed, you
can... pages of messages from Daryl.
Well, if you got so annoyed, you could unfriend them and block them, and that might stop.
Here, let me, I can take care of this right now. Daryl, stop messaging Nancy. All right? No more. All right, it's done. Now, if he doesn't listen to the show, you're on your own again.
Yeah, you certainly can unfriend him on Facebook, and he would have less. But one of the things about Facebook is I don't think you could actually... You could report him as spam or abuse, but that would have other...
If it's not really spam, then you shouldn't really...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a board member.
Look, it's best just probably to unfriend him. I mean, if they get their feelings hurt, oh, well, it's Facebook, but I mean...
So I'll unfriend him, and I can block messages.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then go into your settings and turn off, you know, your email notifications, too, if those are coming up too often.
I can turn off all email notifications from
that? Yes, you sure can, yeah. Like, I've got mine set to only important notifications, but if you click on edit, you can say none. You can close everything. You can turn everything off.
I'm either going to have to figure out how to use Facebook better or just cancel my account.
Yeah.
Dwight offers the advice to poke around in it. So, I mean, you might want to just start looking at some of the help files and looking, and then close it down and go back to it the next day and, you know,
try to post any cat pictures up the first day.
One thing you can do in Facebook is if you go into your privacy settings and go to how you connect, and one of the options is who can send you Facebook messages. You can set it so that only friends can send you Facebook messages, then go unfriend him, and he will not be able to send you messages. That's how to do it.
And unfriend him.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's the new social move. I mean, a lot of people I know, if people are putting out a lot of just gibberish or things that people don't approve of, unfriending is a move, you know?
Right. So, again, you go into the privacy settings, go to how you connect, select only friends can send you messages, and then go unfriend him, and that will fix the problem.
I love you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Right.
We love you, too.
Bye, Nancy.
I can still block Dynamo, but
that's right.
I don't have to put up with any of this.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Go Dynamo.
Yay, go Orange.
Dynamo. We've got the same team for next year, and we're going to be even better.
That's right.
You bet. Look out, LA Galaxy.
Look out, Beckham.
All right.
Have a good night.
Beckham retired, right?
He did retire, yeah.
Did Donovan retire?
Or he's retired from U.S. soccer. I think he may surface elsewhere, I bet.
Yeah. He said he wanted to get into... Yeah, he didn't want to leave the sport, and he wanted to maybe become an owner of a team, a partial owner of a team. So
maybe he'll own the Dynamo.
Does Posh still have some Spice Girls money tucked away somewhere? Or is Beckham?
Probably.
They are actually looking to get the people that own the Dynamo to sell. Not everybody, but the major stakeholder is the same of the Galaxy and Dynamo.
That'd be pretty cool.
So they wanted those people to sell like a majority interest in the Dynamo, at least, if not completely sell it. So they were looking for investors to buy it. So you might look into that.
Me? Yeah. Do they have a $2 share?
All right, 713-526-5738 is the number. We have a couple of calls in the queue, plenty of open lines. You know what to do. Groove House?
Yes. Who's next?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know what to do.
I don't know what to do, but the people listening might know what to do. But what I'm going to do is offer us Fernando.
Hello, Fernando.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call. I need your advice to extend the range of my wireless network. I have there are a couple of issues that I believe are at stake. One, I have a little apartment in the back of my house, and both my house and the little apartment have a radium barrier, which I suspect might be causing some interferences with the wireless signals.
It will, yes.
Okay. So is there any device, any hardware that I could buy to extend the range?
What do you have right now? What access point are you using?
I beg your pardon, access point. I have AT&T, but then I connect to a Mac router from the AT&T router, and then I have an additional Airport Express.
I believe, and Flicted could probably speak to this, but I believe Airport Express will do repeating to where it'll actually repeat the signal. Now, the bandwidth will go down in half because it's like, you know, like having someone in the middle, and when you say, hey, number one, they say, hey, number one. So it's going to speed down, but if you're not getting any kind of connectivity back there because, you know, of the barriers, then that would get you around that.
I tried to do that, and then when I take the additional Airport Express into the little apartment in the back, I get nothing. I mean,
let me ask you this. Yeah. Maybe what you're doing, because the Airport Express is going to have to be able to see the wireless signal that's being put off by the main base station. So what if you do this? What if you try and put the Airport Express inside the main house, but you position it as closely as you can to that back apartment, and then go back and see what you can do? Like, I don't know if you have do you have a smartphone, by any chance?
I guess I do, yes.
Do you have an Android phone, or do you have an Apple phone, or what do you
have? I have a BlackBerry.
Oh, I was going to say there, do you have a laptop that you can walk around with? What I'm suggesting is
laptop,
there...
No, I don't.
Okay.
Borrow one.
Borrow a smartphone, okay. Borrow a laptop. What you want to do is you want to get, for instance, like if you have a friend that has an Android phone, there's a program called Wi-Fi Analyzer. And what you can do is it's a little bar graph that shows you how strong the signal is. And it does it in bar graph, and it'll also give you like a number, a number of like how many decibels it's dropping. And what you want to do is you want to you can experiment with different positions. You can, go and put the Airport Express really close, and you can kind of see like how far away you have to get before the signal drops. And, sometimes even just, if you can get it to where it shoots through a window, or just messing with the position inside the house might be a little bit better. The other thing you can do, you can go and you can actually amplify the signal if you need to. So there are a number of antennas you can get and amps you can get. But the problem with that is that you really kind of need two different antennas or two different amps. If one, for instance, if one person's shouting in the conversation, the person in the back, apartment might be able to hear what's going on. But when they talk back, the access point isn't going to be able to hear them. So that would necessitate them putting in something else back there.
Is the apartment and the house, or the apartment and the house on the same electric circuits?
They are.
Go Pete. Because
you could use internet over power line, and then use that to get internet from your router in the house out to the apartment, and then you could hook a router up out there, except it would go through the power line, kind of like a network. Or you could bury an Ethernet cable from the house to the apartment.
I'm considering doing that, burying the cable. But the last, the previous option that you mentioned, through the electrical system, is there such a device?
There are. It's called PLC. It's Power Line Communication. And I've even seen them at Micro Center, and they're not exotic anymore like they used to be a couple of years ago. I think you can find like home kits. So more or less, you've got more or less an injector, something that plugs into the wall outlet, and then you've got something else that picks it back up, and doing a direct connection is pretty easy over that. I don't know what the data speeds are, but again, something's better than nothing.
Exactly. Now I get nothing. So PLC.
PLC. And I would say go to a store just to try it out that has a decent return policy. That way, if it doesn't work, or, for some reason they're on two different electrical circuits, you can always take it back. But maybe like a Micro Center or something along those lines.
Fries carries.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help. I really appreciate it. I love your show.
Right. Thanks.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye, Fernando.
I would never have thought of that. That whole idea of plugging your computer's connectivity into the alternating power. Current. Mm-hmm. They just that just gives me I can't even talk about it. It just makes me so nervous.
How does that? I mean, I've seen that stuff, and I'm sure it works because you can ride on those power lines, but I wonder how that's affected by joints and like going back into the breaker box and all that stuff.
Actually, if you pay real close attention, if you watch the flickering on your lights, you can decode the packets like through your house.
Because I'm just thinking, if the back apartment is on a separate breaker box or on a separate power line, then you couldn't do it. It'd have to be on the same. It all would have to go back the same breaker box, I would think.
I'm fuzzy on that. I don't know. But that's why you'd probably want to get it from someplace you could return it.
Because otherwise your power would feed through your breaker box back up the line back onto the next house.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thanks, Tesla.
All right.
Where's our wireless electricity?
So we've probably we have two calls in the queue.
We've got 12 minutes, 10 minutes to go.
10 minutes to go or so. Let's take these two calls and think we could add another line.
We'll see. I don't know. Take your chances.
713-526-5738.
Roll the dice.
See what happens. We could always do a speed round if we have to.
Who's up?
That always works so well. All right. Up next, we're going to speak with Scott.
Scott, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi. I've got a Mac laptop with, what, Snow Lion or, I don't know, 10.5 anyway.
Snow Bunny, yeah.
Snow Bunny, yeah.
Anyway, I travel a lot, and so consequently I get on public Wi-Fi systems frequently. I think that there's something...
Close your door, please, Scott.
Yep, got it. Thank you. I didn't pull over and stop. the question is I've got David Pogue's missing manual or whatever. That system has a file sharing or folder sharing system. Is that an adequate firewall, or are there other options?
You could turn that on and off pretty easily in the Mac settings under sharing. And generally, if you're in a public setting, you should turn off all sharing.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting on the Mac is that the firewall is off by default. And that's in the security section. And you could turn that on, and that will probably be good enough for you. I've always been intrigued by the fact that it's turned off by default on the Mac.
Well, with the Mac, though, the thing is, if you don't have any open listening ports, you don't really have to knock down traffic that are coming to the open doors. And hey, now that you've closed your door, could we get you to turn down your radio too? We're asking a whole lot of you tonight, Scott, I know.
Everything's off.
Really? I'm hearing my voice. Maybe I'm hearing through Peter Echo. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. So yeah, I think that it, so long as you have all of the sharing ports turned off, I think you should be okay with it. You could turn the firewall on the Mac OS, and that probably would add another layer of security. I don't think on the Mac you need to buy a third-party firewall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's helpful.
And then whenever you can, you know, hit up HTTPS sites, if at all possible. You know, just practice, especially when you're out in the wild. Don't go to banking sites unless you can help it. You know, just kind of be cognizant of what you're doing.
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, Facebook games and you know, just casual stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, one of the interesting things that you can do now is there are inexpensive, consumer-worthy VPN connections that you can subscribe to.
Oh, like Hotspot.
Well, I don't know the names of them off the top of my head, but you could pay a subscription fee and get a VPN connection that secures your connection in a public location.
Or, you know, you can definitely do that. And this is a little more technical know-how, and it might take you down a deep, dark rabbit hole. But if you've got a fast home connection, too, you can always, you know, run some kind of VPN software on there. And then you can encrypt, you know, coming from the public Wi-Fi. And at least that protects your traffic getting you as far as your home network goes.
Okay.
That's what I usually do. Whenever I'm in a coffee shop, whenever I'm anywhere, I'll VPN into my home source, and then at least people around me on the local wireless network, they have no idea what's going on. So.
Right. Okay. One other, just another wrinkle is I've recently, in the past couple of weeks, gotten an Android phone. I bought it used, and it came with FoxFi on there.
Firefox or FoxFi? Oh, is that the sharing? Is that the tethering app?
It's called FoxFi, and it's a tethering. Well, yeah. Not a tethering, but a local hotspot or Wi-Fi app.
What? Who do you get the phone service from? Who's your carrier?
Sprint, through Sprint.
And do you know what version of Android you're running?
It's a Motorola Photon.
Because I was under the impression that they pulled support for that. Unless you've got a rooted phone, that will no longer work on their network.
Well, I happened to do a little digging, and it does appear to be a rooted phone.
Oh, well, boom, there you go.
Someone did that for me.
Well, no, that should work. And if it's rooted, you've got a couple of other options out there, too. But, yeah, it should work if it's rooted.
I have used tether.com, which I was pretty happy with, too. And that just runs through your data plan rather than any special system.
Okay. Was there a question with that, or was that just a statement of saying, haha, I've got a rooted phone?
That was kind of a lead in about that same security thing in terms of people tying in, broadcasting the Wi-Fi signal.
Well, I mean, the same thing. You definitely want to run like WPA2, or you want to run, you know, some kind of encryption on the wireless signal, and, you know, only power it up when you want to get on there. But I would trust connecting to your phone's hotspot and using that much, much more than I would trust a public Wi-Fi access point.
Okay. All right.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, good luck on the phone.
All right.
Bye. Bye. All right. About 6 minutes to go.
Yeah, this last call probably.
All right. I think so.
Okay, well then let's take it. Yeah, it's going to be Zeke.
Zeke.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I did not have a question. I actually had a couple of remarks. Because I actually ran into the same issue with the wireless routers and the AT&T modems. And I was getting the internet by hooking directly into the modem, but not to the router. While I was doing some digging in the modem, it has an administrative setting that disallows you to share internet through a physical connection to the modem that you can disable. As soon as I disabled it, everything I plugged into it worked.
Now, what specifically was this setting again? What did it do?
It disables sharing of network of the network through a hard line.
Oh, that's weird. So it's buried inside the web interface in the DSL modem's configuration?
Exactly. This is in the router or in the modem?
In the modem.
How did you get into the modem?
If you look on the back of the modem, it'll give you a home address and a login.
Huh.
And you can log into the modem and modify the modem's administrative settings. And from there, you can allow other computers or routers or, you know, whatever, switches, to share internet through a hardline connection to it.
So maybe that's why it's not working on, I can't remember, I think Jones was his name. That's why it's not working on Jones's machine. Do you remember exactly what that's called by any chance, just in case he's still listening?
I honestly wish I did, but I don't. It's been a number of months since I did it.
Okay.
Yeah, I know on some you have to, if it's a combo unit, you have to go in and set it to pass through so that it...
Or bridge mode, yeah.
Bridge mode, right.
It might be similar to that.
It's a specific checkbox that allows you to share internet through a device hooked up to it.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Jones. If you're still listening, log into the modem, poke around in there. The password's on the underside of the modem, usually.
Usually on the backside. Not only that, but I have to admit, y'all gave Nancy the most convoluted answer ever. It's really simple. To the left of the screen, underneath your profile picture, there's a little word that says block. No more emails, no more messages, no more headaches.
Oh, really?
Ah.
Well, she already hated Facebook. We were just going to really drive that point home.
Yeah.
She'll never be back.
Yeah.
She's running with her tail between her legs back to MySpace.
Where is this again?
She's going to be your friend now.
It depends. If you're using a laptop or a desktop, it'll be on the left-hand side, right underneath the photo of the person.
So in messages?
No.
On their profile?
Oh, on their profile.
Now, see, I'm looking at somebody who I'm friends with.
You can see that you can block them.
I see no block there. Friends, photos. I don't see anything that says block.
Oh, under actions, maybe?
Actions.
Report spam or abuse. I'm reporting you, Dwight.
Don't do it.
Oops, no. Okay.
Yeah, do it.
Do it.
No, you can definitely block people. I have a guarantee of that.
Excellent.
And on the mobile apps, you've got it on, you know, an iTouch, if you've got it on an iPhone or whatever, it's actually usually at the very bottom. You can scroll all the way down, and it'll give you a couple of options when it comes to the other person, and you can block them and whatnot.
Oh, I see report block. It's under the little, I'm looking at, this has the cover image view, and it's under there, so yeah, it's report block.
Well, thanks, Zeke, for the info. Hopefully Nancy was listening and she got that.
Yeah.
All right, man, have a good night.
Thanks for listening.
You too.
All right, that's it for us, huh, Groove?
We did it.
Geek Gathering.
Yeah, Geek Gathering this Friday.
At Cones?
Cones, 2808, around there, Mile and Madrew. It's next to Tropioca, where we used to do Geek Gatherings way back in the day.
7 o'clock, you can check it out on geekradio.com. All the information you need is there.
All right, you've been listening to Technology Bites here on 90.1 KPFT.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groove House. We're out of here.
the home stretch for this year, and KPFT is asking you to consider a year-end gift. Your support creates this essential outlet for the best music, arts, and news around. Your support also creates the opportunity for us all to stretch our minds and challenge our imaginations. This is the first official week of KPFT's Quiet Campaign. During this time, we'll ask for a year-end gift to support your station. No long pledge drives or pushy requests. We're just asking you to remember your donation allows us to explore the world and the people who live in it in ways we never could before. Please make a special year-end gift now, or join our sustainers with simple ongoing monthly gifts on your credit card or from your bank account. Visit us online at kpft.org. Your support during this month will ensure a happy new year for you and the rest of our community. Again, just visit kpft.org to donate. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Hi, I'm KPFT General Manager Dwayne Bradley, and as someone who talks to the candidates and knows the ins and outs of KPFT, a lot of people ask me who to vote for in our board elections. So, without further ado, I want to let you know who I'd vote for. You. KPFT needs smart, qualified board members, a board that sees our growth as well as our opportunities. We need a board that can represent our unique community. But unless you return your ballot, our entire election is in doubt. I'm supporting you in voting now. If you're a listener member and you got your ballot in the mail recently, please open it, read about the candidates, find out more information at kpft.org, and cast an informed vote. While at our website, you can also give a year-end gift to help your station, including the election costs. KPFT needs to reach a quorum of votes to certify this election, so please get your ballots in now. Thanks. This is KPFT Houston.